Welcome to the From the Vine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Heifel, a reporter and writer of the From the Vine wine column for The Record in Stockton, California. I'm certified level 3 with the Wine and Spirit Education Trust and a part-time tasting room associate at the Lodi Wine and Visitor Center. I hope you enjoy this podcast, which focuses on the Lodi American Viticultural Area. I welcome your comments and reviews on our Facebook group page at recordnet.com/FTV209. And you can follow us at FTV209 on Twitter and Instagram. And welcome to the From the Vine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Heifel. It's my great pleasure to have as my guest, Tom Hoffman.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, longtime Lodi wine grower and winemaker and owner of Heritage Oak Winery in Acampo. And Tom, it's just such a great pleasure. I always love being with you. You're just a wealth of information and one of the nicest guys I've come across out here, so I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Bob. Don't lay it on too thick, please.
Too thick, yeah. I like it thick. So we're going to talk about a myriad subjects, starting with a passport event that is coming up the weekend of January 18th and 19th here in Lodi Wine Country, and it's the first Celebrate Petit Sirah. We want to talk to Tom about that because he has several wines where Petit Sirah takes center stage or is part of the blend, and then we also want to touch on Tom's career because it's fascinating, and it goes back five generations here in Lodi, and then if we have some time, we could talk about the current state of the grower winery relationship in Lodi. So a lot to cover, but let's start with the Celebrate Petit Sirah. And Tom, how did this idea kind of come about?
Well, Bob, I went into Estate Crush in Lodi, and I was talking to Bob Colarossi there. I was picking up some wine because I'm a member of his wine club, and we started chatting about things, and he mentioned, gee, we should have something other than Zinfest in the area. And so we were talking about other varieties, and the Petit Sirah came up. So, it's kind of Bob Colarossi's idea, but then I took it from there, and I went over and talked to a steward and at the Wine Grape Commission, and we kind of got the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. So that's how the whole idea came out. And we sent out an email originally, I think probably about a year ago, and, we had a lot of response. So this is the first year. I know there's a lot of wineries that didn't get to participate because they didn't hear, or there's one case where I inadvertently dropped their name from the list accidentally. But we have 17 wineries, and I think it's going to grow. I think people like it. Yeah. And on our website, we developed a Petit Sirah website. There's a way you can request to have the passport sent to you, and I've got 80 requests already for that.
Yeah, which is because you can go to any of the participating wineries and get your passport, but the people want to have it.
Yeah, people want to have it before they start up. They can read it and see what's going on.
Yeah, so. Well, I can certainly understand that. You mentioned Stuart. We should say that Stuart Spencer, who's executive director of the Lodi Wine Grape Commission, and the website address for more information is celebratepetitsirah.com. And some people don't know how to spell Petit Sirah. That's fine, but it's PETITSIRAH. And the grape itself is a crossing of Pellerson and Syrah.
Right. Yes, that's correct. But there's nothing petite about it. They're in my vineyards, they're big, huge bunches. They're heavy bunches. The flavor is not petite. It's a great, big, bold, in-your-face wine with a lot of tannin and frequently with high alcohol, especially if it's grown in the Lodi area. So it's kind of a misnomer. But it's got a lot of popularity and a big following.
Right. People think petite means it's a small little kind of I don't know, frail grape. It is anything but that. Petite, I guess, refers to the size of the cluster, so you have that big skin or high skin to juice ratio, which lends itself to higher tannin.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can
okay. Be. But not all the time.
Yeah, not all the time. Mm-hmm. My vineyards have great big bunches, big berries.
Okay.
It's new. It's a new vineyard. One thing that's kind of interesting, it's been grown in the Lodi area for a long, long time. Growers typically don't like to grow this variety, principally because it's so susceptible to mildew.
Uh-huh.
And as it reaches maturity, it starts drying up.
Mm.
And for every week, they say you can lose 5% of your weight in the vineyard just because of the dehydration. By the time you pick it, there's lots and lots of raisins. Frequently, some of the bunches are half raisins. Growers call it pedicera, or more commonly, they just call it pedis.
Uh-huh.
They talk about pedis, they're talking about petit syrah.
Okay. Yeah, growers sometimes have their own vernacular.
Yes, absolutely.
Around here, if you hear Carignan, that means Carignan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's good to know if you ever hear that out on the wine trail. Now you know what the growers are talking about. Is that because the clusters are tight? Does that kind of...
And it is prone to rot.
Okay.
So it's a tough one to grow and uh-huh. do a good job.
Right.
On the winemaking side, You need to have it ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the high tannin, if you've ever tried a Petite Syrah wine that was picked early, just the green tannin overwhelms. So you have to get the grape 24 and a half. Preferably, I like mine 26 bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives you that high alcohol, but you got to have ripe fruit in order to make good wine.
Right. And what food goes well with Petite Syrah?
Pizza.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hamburgers.
Uh-huh. Hamburgers?
Yeah.
How about steaks and that kind
absolutely.
Of thing?
Absolutely. You name
that
it.
That kind of
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah. I would skip the shrimp salad. It would probably overwhelm that.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm sure that would be too much, but that's wonderful. So a little more detail here on the Celebrate Petite Syrah. There are 17 wineries participating. We're going to list those in just a minute for you, but you can show up at any of these wineries we're about to mention. You'll get your passport. We'll have more information. Visit any of the participating wineries. They'll be pouring Petite Syrah. I think each winery probably is going to lend their own personality or
absolutely.
Their own
yeah.
Kind of accoutrement, if you will, to the event itself. But obviously, Heritage Oak will be at the forefront of this event. And just real quickly, Dancing Coyote Wines, D'Art Wines, Bob Colarossi and Ali Colarossi's Estate Crush. We talked about Bob earlier. Harney Lane Winery, Clinker Brick Winery, Lodi Vintners, which is kind of a combined tasting room. They have Rippy Wines there. And some others. So Lodi Vintners is participating, as is M2 Wines, McKay Cellars, their tasting room is downtown, Mettler Family Vineyards, which uses Petite Syrah as a single varietal, and I know they blend it with other wines. Michael David Winery, of course, Oak Ridge, Pasquette Winery.
And they're using a blend.
Okay.
They have it in a blend.
Which one, Pasquette?
Yeah, one of their blends. I think it might be the Cabrona blend,
uh-huh.
but I'm not sure which one.
Okay, and that's Lorraine Pasquette. She's
right.
your neighbor out here. Peltier Winery is participating. Pre Winery and Vineyard. St. Amant Winery. We mentioned Stuart Spencer. He's the winemaker there. And then Van Ruten Family Winery. So quite a great
that's a good list.
Wineries. That's a
yeah.
really good list.
And a lot of the wineries are doing things other than just pouring. There are some wineries with games to play. On Saturday, we're having music here. Some of the wineries are having food pairings. So there's lots of different things. All of the information about what the wineries are doing is listed on the Celebrate Petite Syrah website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in the passbook. So once you get your passport, you can check and see which wineries are doing what.
Okay, let's give out that website address again. It's spelled out, celebratepetitesyrah.com. And again, Petite Syrah is spelled P-E-T-I-T-E-S-I-R-A-H. can't tell you how many times I've seen that misspelled, even on winery
websites. Well, it's very confusing. Very confusing because Petit Verdot is spelled differently.
Right. No E at the end.
Yeah, no E.
Right.
I guess the French have a female and a male spelling for a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Syrah, too. People want to put a Y in there with Petit Syrah, and it's S-I-R-A. So anyway, but we were talking about how much Petit Syrah is grown here in Lodi. And actually, I pulled some numbers from the 2018 California Grape Crush Report. So in California in the year 2018, 108,000 tons of Petit Syrah was crushed. That's an increase of 11,000 tons from the previous year, which I found interesting. And in Lodi, which grows the most Petit Syrah of any crush district in the state, about 43% of the state's total, which blew me away.
That's a lot.
47,000 tons.
Yeah.
So Lodi, known for Zinfandel, I guess, we grow the most Petit Syrah.
We're the main producer of Petit Syrah because, once again, it does well in our hot, dry climate.
Mm-hmm. And we have a great region for wine grape growing. I mean, if you like variety from Albarino to Zinfandel, A to Z and everything in between, you'll find it here in Lodi. And certainly one of the great things about Tom and Heritage Oak is if you want variety, this is a place to come. It's like you're this mad scientist. You know, you see something you like and you give it a shot.
Well, I grow 25 varieties. I think I probably grow... more than most. I think Ripken may grow more than I do. 25 varieties. I like Italian wines. We got French, of course, Spanish grapes, and I've got Portuguese grapes. So
I went through the tasting menu online and came up with more than a dozen. Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, a Rosé of Grenache. I did not have the Rosé of Barbera, which we were talking about before we started recording this, that you have. Obviously, Zinfandel, Petit Verdot, Cabernet, Sangiovese, Syrah, Cab Franc, Tempranillo, Malbec, Mourvedre, Charbona, which is a really interesting wine, and then a Solera dessert wine. Is that kind of a fractional blending kind of?
The Solera is made from Portuguese grapes.
Uh-huh.
So I take my four varieties of Portuguese grapes and I blend them together to make the Solera.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. So we're with Tom Hoffman of Heritage Oak Winery, and a little bit about Tom. I want to get into his life and career. You and your wife Carmela Hoffman live on land, on property that's been in your family five generations.
That's right.
So your great-great-grandfather.
Great-great-grandfather. 1854 came out here.
Wow.
So.
Wow. And then where you and Carmela reside, how
that was house that built? Was built in 1908 by my great-grandmother.
Wow.
So she was born on the property, and she moved here after she married. And her father gave her this part of the ranch, and they built their house here.
And what did they do? Were they farmers?
They were farmers. Mm-hmm. In those days, when they started, they didn't have irrigation, so everything was dry farmed grain. And then they had, of course, they grew everything they needed to survive, their meat and their eggs and milk and everything. But they lived in an interesting time because around 1910 or so, electricity came. So they were able to harness electricity and irrigate their land. And so around those times, they branched out into stone fruit, peaches, and they planted Tokay grapes. Mm. And so when I came here in 1980, one of our vineyards was planted by my great-grandfather. They were great, big, tall Tokay vines.
Hmm.
They were so big you had to climb up inside them like a tree to prune them.
Oh, my darn. Yeah. Wow. So Tokay was so prevalent here.
Yes.
For many, many decades. Right. Oh, so Tokays were a table grape. I mean, I've tasted them. They're delicious.
That's right. Tokays are a table grape. And back years ago, each area in California had its own table grape that they produced. And as the season progressed from south to north, each variety would reach maturity. And so the market was never flooded with one particular kind of grape. So as each variety reached maturity, it was packed, and then the seed would move on, and the next variety would come in. So there was an order to the way the grapes were produced. Mm. But then in the mid-1980s, the seedless varieties were planted, and they just took off. Everybody yeah. planted seedless varieties, and so the market was suddenly flooded with just a few varieties. Everybody wanted grapes without seeds. Nobody wanted ones like Tokay's that had seeds because you had to spit the seeds out.
How lazy are we?
Yeah, and so that's what happened to all those great seeded Tokay's. Varieties.
And they're so delicious.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, meat on the bone.
Right.
More flavor,
great,
you know?
Great big berries, good flavor.
Yeah.
They shipped. They lasted a long time on mm-hmm. the shelf.
Right.
So it was good, yeah, but that's the way it is. You have to roll with it.
You mentioned 1980. Was that the year that you kind of took over here?
Right. Yeah. That's the kind okay. of year we came. It was all that happened around 85.
Uh-huh.
And Gallo was here. He said, okay, I'll take your table grapes, but let's transition. We want wine grapes. And so everybody just kind of lined up to sign up with Gallo and mm-hmm. Mondavi to plant wine varieties. And so during that 5-year period from 85 to 90, the whole region moved into the wine grape business.
And so you transitioned from the stone fruit and the Tokay's into right. wine grape production.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the stone fruit went out before
okay.
that.
Before that, okay.
Yeah. The stone fruit in this area went into canning peaches.
Mm.
And canned fruit just kind of lost popularity.
Mm. Yeah.
So,
what varieties did you plant here back in that mid 80 period?
We planted Cabernet. We planted Chardonnay. Basically, those are the main two that Gallo wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We also planted Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And then it's just expanded to the point where how many do you have now?
Well, I have 25 varieties, but lots of them are very small plantings. Uh-huh. It's only enough fruit for myself.
Okay, right.
I still sell to Gallo, and I still sell to other big wineries. Chardonnay, Zin, we have Sauvignon Blanc, Gallo buys Petit Sirah and Malbec. And those are large fields, but I just need a couple tons for my own production.
Okay. 2006, you and Carmela go from growers to growers, winemakers, and selling
right.
selling wine.
Yep.
So the established Heritage Oak in 2006. Many families have kind of done that, vertically
right.
integrating
yes.
their business.
Yeah.
What was the impetus
well,
there?
Well, you know, we kind of hoped that the wine grape industry in the Lodi would take off and you could grow wine grapes and be supported. But, you know, that just never happened. The prices for our fruit have stayed at $500, $600 a ton. And increasingly, year after year, you can't survive at that. It barely pays for the production. So you have to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was our solution.
Right.
Take the wine and take the grapes and turn it into wine and sell the wine. And it's really saved our skin.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Wow.
Because even though I just have used 50 tons, this little business makes enough money to grow the 250 tons for Gallo.
Okay.
Because I don't get enough money to pay by just growing the fruit.
Right. How many acres do you have in your control?
We have about 80 acres planted.
Okay.
The ranch is a little bit bigger than that. I think we're probably about 120 acres, but we have lots of open stuff, mm-hmm. particularly down in the bottom land.
Right, right. I want to talk about more about the grower-winemaker relationship and the current climate we're in a little bit later, but more on Heritage Oak Winery. In 2012, you were named Winery of the Year by the Lodi Convention and Visitor Bureau. That had to be a great
honor. Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yes.
So that is a feather in another feather in your cap, a lot of feathers in your cap, Tom. But you've been so involved in organizations that help winemakers, that help promote Lodi. In 2000, you were real involved in the Lodi Amateur Vintners Association,
right,
getting
yeah.
that off the ground. And then more recently, maybe a couple of years, the last two or three years, you were on the board and are the current president of the Lodi Winery Association.
No, Lodi Association of Wineries.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that the wrong. So it's LAW, Lodi Association of Wineries, and then Lodi Amateur Vintners Association. That acronym is LAVA. Tell us about LAVA and what was behind that.
Well, you know, at that time, I was an amateur winemaker, and I just wanted to learn more about it, do the best I could. And so I was picking up some winemaking supplies at the local shop, and the guy that owned it suggested that we start a home winemakers club, and we could bring in speakers. And of course, he wanted to do that so he could get more people to come into his shop. So I took it on myself to, you know, get the word out, and I put ads in the paper and whatnot. And you know, the thing just took off. We had our first big meeting in March of that year, 2000, and we had 30 people show up. You know, and that organization has grown. I think it now has 150 members. So, and it's an educational tool. I mean, they have a program once a month. They bring in speakers to talk about different facets of making wine, and so it's been a good thing for winemaking in Lodi to have that. And I can't name all of the wineries that sprung into existence because of the background that the winemakers got from that organization.
That's amazing. So people sharing information, getting ideas, and learning how to make wine together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then LAW, the Lodi Association of Wineries, we're on the initial board and our current president of that association. Tell us about that.
That came into existence 3 years ago because of the need of the county. San Joaquin County wanted to talk to one entity about revising the winery ordinance that they had, that they were working on. And so rather than talk to all of the different wineries and all the different players, they wanted to talk to one group who could speak for that. And so that's why LAW was established, in order to do that. But since then, it's grown. We now have our own PAC, Political Action Committee, and we can help to direct the growth of Lodi's wineries politically through that. And now we're sponsoring a few events. We have Celebrate Petite Syrah is our first event that we're sponsoring. Oh,
fantastic. So, that is awesome. So lots of good stuff. And obviously, you're so invested in this area. I'm sure that's why you're doing all these different
You got to do something. You don't want to just sit around.
You do not.
You can only play the piano so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I didn't talk to you about this before we started recording the podcast. Can you tell us about your music appreciation and your mastery of the keys?
Well, music has just always been part of my life. As a child, my mother put all three of us kids into piano lessons, and my sister and my brother, you know, they went on to other things. My brother's still with music. But for me, the piano stuck, and I stayed with it. Not all the time, but, you know, it's just become one of those threads that have gone through my life. And I never got away from the printed sheet. I'm, you know, I don't improvise. I play classical music, and because the music is right there. But I love it, and I look forward to practicing.
That's great. So I'm going to spring this on you. Could you play a little bit for us?
I could.
Okay. Is that all right? Would you do that now?
Well, you want me to do it right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So in the tasting room where we are right now is in the corner. Tell us about this piano, Tom.
All right.
I'll move it over here. We're still recording.
Yeah. The piano is a Clavinova. It's a digital piano. It's made by Yamaha.
Okay.
And it has a little belly on it. It looks like it might be a grand piano, but it's not. It's digital, and it can do everything except bark like a dog. You know, it has all the instruments.
It doesn't bark like Cusco. So your faithful companion.
So what I've been working on the last 6 months is music by Franz Joseph Haydn.
Ah.
So here's a
nice little piece.
But it's great. That's just so wonderful. Is there any correlation to music and making wine?
Yeah, I see harmony in wine. You know, you have to have balance. You have to have color. You have to have, there's lots of things.
Yeah.
You have to have details, you know, all those things are important.
Wow. The multi-talented Tom Hoffman has been our guest on the From the Vine podcast. What a pleasure. We do want to plug again the event that you're behind, and that's the Celebrate Petit Sirah in Lodi Wine Country. It's a passport event, so you just show up at any of the participating wineries, or if you go to the website, and it's spelled out, celebratepetitsirah.com, you can have a passport sent to you. There's a very easy to fill out form there. Plenty of information on the event itself, on the participating wineries, the times. The dates are Saturday, January 18th and Sunday, January 19th. So it's a chance to celebrate a great grape, a tough grape to grow, but one that does very well here in Lodi, and especially by Heritage Oak and Tom Hoffman.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It's been
a
pleasure.
All right, Bob.
Thanks for joining us.
You bet.